Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Imagine late one night, you're relaxing at home, settling down for bed, when suddenly your phone lights up. It's an unexpected call from a family member. You answer, but all you hear is static. But then, for just a second, you hear something else, a voice. Hello, is that you? It sounded like them. It sounded like they said your name, but now there's no answer. Just more static. You hang up, confused. It must have been an accidental call. But then, just a few moments later, you get a different phone call, news that alters your life forever. That family member who just called you? They passed away hours ago, but you heard their voice. How could this be possible? Today, we're diving into one of the strangest corners of the paranormal to try and answer this question. Are ghosts capable of speaking through our technology? And if so, what do they want? Today's perplexing episode is all about paranormal phone calls and the mysterious case of Charles Peck. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's spooky episode all about paranormal phone calls in the very perplexing case of Charles Peck, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends, welcome back. I am very excited for today's episode. I have been wanting to talk about the Charles Peck case for so long. I learned about it years ago. I just find anything related to voice beyond the grave so, so fascinating. I think it's something everybody can relate to in a sense as well, because we've all lost someone. And so just that idea of there being a potential of them still being with you in some way can be very comforting. For some people, it can be kind of scary. So, you know, whatever the case, it makes us feel something. And I definitely think we can all relate to things like this in a sense. A lot of people will talk about experiences where they lose someone and they visit them in a dream. But there are also a lot of stories of people feeling like their loved ones are interacting with them through technology, or just a ghost in general interacting with technology. There have been stories of emails, smart home speakers, baby monitors, televisions, and of course, spirit boxes, where these things are going off on their own. And it seems like there are spirits interacting with them. And so then there's this question of, like, why specifically are they wanting to interact with the technology? Are they just confused what it is? Are they experimenting? Is it some type of portal that is just easier for them to access? So many questions. So I just thought this would be such an interesting topic, and the Charles Peck case is a perfect example of it. So we're going to talk about the Charles Peck case first, and then I will give you guys some other examples. For the sake of today's episode, we're going to specifically be focusing on phone calls where it seems like spirits were maybe interacting. Very quickly, before we get started, I've got a couple of shout-outs. I would like to welcome Weird Creature number 5, who joined the Perplexed Society on YouTube. Hello, and thank you so much for joining and supporting the show. I hope you're enjoying all the bonus content. I think you said you found me from Let's Get Haunted, which I love Allie and Nat so much, and I'm very happy that you're here. Also, Shannon, thank you for sending me a picture of you and your Perplexed shirt. It's so cute. I'm really glad that you're happy with it. Shannon is also in their Perplexed Society. She is at the Supreme Leader tier, and so she just got her free shirt because she's been a member for a couple months, and she sent me a picture in it. I love seeing that. So thank you, Shannon, and just thanks for continuing to support the show. When you guys do that, it keeps the lights on. That is the number one reason we get to keep doing this. So thank you to my Perplexed Society members. I love you so much. So with all of that out of the way, without further ado, let's get into the perplexing case of Charles Peck. So a little bit about Charles. He spent his early years in Torrance attending Seaside Elementary School and joining the Cub Scouts. He grew up on a farm with his brothers and two sisters in Flemington, Missouri, to parents Clarence and Patricia. After high school, Charles started moving around. He worked in California for Coast Glass in Hermosa Beach, and then in 1979, he actually joined the Western Airlines at Los Angeles International Airport. And from this point on, Charles always had some type of job in the airline industry, and he was really good at it. He was very, very hardworking. It seems like he was well-liked. He ended up transferring to Anchorage, Alaska, and then later Vegas, before settling down in Salt Lake City to start his family. He worked as a customer service agent for Delta Airlines at the Salt Lake City International Airport for 19 years. He was a very dedicated and kind man, and he had been married before to a woman named Maria. He and Maria took advantage of the airline's policy and took their 3 kids on all kinds of cool vacations. His 3 children were CJ, Daniel, and Rachel. They would travel to Hawaii, the Caribbean, and when he could, Charles loved to scuba dive. He also just loved being in the outdoors in general. He liked camping. His son Daniel would actually later say his dad always gave the best advice. And if you were sad, he knew how to cheer you up. That's the kind of dad that Charles Peck was. He and Maria were married for 24 years, but they did end up divorcing. So Charles is in this new chapter in his life now, and we're going to flash forward to 2008. So at this point, Charles is 49 years old, and he has moved on with his romantic life. He's fallen in love with a new woman named Andrea Katz. Andrea was from the Westlake Village in California. They were super excited to start this new part of their life. They got engaged in February of 2008. Charles had actually known Andrea for a while. She had been a longtime family friend, and they had hit it off really well. They were making long-distance work for a while, but now Charles was going to be relocating to California to be closer to Andrea, and they were going to get a new place together, and he would start looking for a new job. So on Friday, September 12th, 2008, Charles was on his way to Los Angeles for a job interview with the Van Nuys Airport. He got on a plane and then he hopped on a Metrolink. He was going to be getting off at the Metrolink's final stop, which was in Moore Park. He would get there around 4:45, so Andrea headed for the train stop to pick him up. He was sitting in the first passenger car with just one stop to go. The engineer of this Metrolink was a man named Robert Sanchez. As the train passed through the Chatsworth part of the city, Sanchez made a grave error, one that would result in one of the worst rail crashes in U.S. history, and it would become known as the Chatsworth crash. Sanchez ran a red light, failing to give right-of-way where the double track merged into one lane. After an investigation with the NTSB, or the National Transportation Safety Board, it was determined that Sanchez did this because he was texting. Ironically, he was actually texting 2 teenagers that were interested in Sanchez's career. So they're asking him job questions, and he's texting while he's on the job, and it results in this crash. His final text was sent just 22 seconds before the collision. This Metrolink contained Charles Peck, as well as over 200 other passengers. They would violently collide with a Union Pacific freight train traveling in the opposite direction at a combined speed of 83 miles per hour, or 133 kilometers per hour. This was at approximately 4:22 p.m., just 3 minutes, 3 minutes before Charles was supposed to get off the Metrolink. It's just so tragic. The San Fernando Valley Fire and Rescue teams quickly responded, trying to find any survivors and free them from the debris. Ultimately, 25 people lost their lives that day. 135 were injured, with 46 being in critical condition and 87 being still taken to the hospital with more minor injuries. The NTSB also concluded if the train had positive train control, also known as PTC, the crash could have been prevented. PTC is a system that prevents collisions and speeding using GPS radios and computers to tell the train engineer when to stop and when to slow down. Survivors would later describe remembering the blazing flames, the twisted steel, people and bodies trapped in debris, and screaming. Andrea had been driving to pick Charles up from the train station when she got word via news report about a train crash on the radio. Just after hearing about this, something really strange would happen to Andrea. As tragic as all of this story is about to take a really weird turn. So Andrea's phone starts ringing. She picks it up and she's like, oh, my fiance, Charles, is calling me. But when she answered, she couldn't hear Charles or any sounds like what you would hear at a crash site either. All she heard was loud static. Over the next 11 hours, we know for certain Charles Peck's cell phone would make at least 35 calls. These calls went out to his son, CJ, his brother, his sister, his stepmother, and Andrea. But every time they answered, they only heard static. And then the calls would just disconnect. We also don't know if he made calls to anyone else. It is possible these calls went to other phone numbers or random numbers. We just know about these because these were the people close to Charles that came forward. And we'll talk about why this is all we know about, like why the information is limited in a little bit. So naturally, at first, when his family's getting these calls, they're thinking, oh my God, Charles survived. He's alive. And he's trying to like call them to get comfort, to get help. There had been survivors in this incident. They're thinking it's possible he's still out there, but the rescue team hasn't been able to locate his body yet. And this was an incredibly large trauma crash scene. You know, there's a lot of different things they're having to sift through. So I'm sure his family was worried that he was like trapped under debris and they wanted the rescue team to get to him as quickly as they could. So Charles, because his phone continued to call Andrea, she started answering and speaking positive words into the phone, trying to encourage her fiance, saying things like, hang in there, baby, we're going to get you out. His son CJ was also shouting, we love you, hang in there, they're coming to get you. Some family members also started calling hospitals. They thought maybe he was somewhere alive. The rescue team had maybe found him, got him out. They're really not sure what to think at this point, but they're definitely thinking he's alive. As the hours passed, Charles' phone was still generating a signal. So the search crew was actually able to use this information to narrow down his location. Because again, this was like sifting through a tornado. Strangely, though, despite getting all these calls, every time the family would try to call Charles back, the calls were going straight to voicemail, which would indicate his phone was off. If it was off, why were phone calls going out? At about 3:28 a.m., approximately 11 hours after the crash, rescuers found Charles Peck's body buried in the debris. The coroner later determined Charles Peck died instantly, or nearly instantly, upon impact, just shy of his 50th birthday. So now there is definitive proof there was no way Charles Peck had made these phone calls while he was alive. and the call stopped just 1 hour before his body was found. To make matters even stranger, Charles Peck's phone was never located, and they did an extensive search for it, so technical analysis couldn't be done on the phone. If the phone had been found badly crushed, investigators might have concluded the calls were because of short-circuiting, stuck buttons, moisture, or some type of hardware issue. It's possible they somehow missed his phone. It could have been under piles and piles of debris. I could also see a scenario where it flew out of his hand if he was like holding it during the crash, for example. But I do think it adds another layer of mystery that his phone was never found. And that's everything I could find about Charles Peck and the crash itself. So the rest of the Charles Peck story is going to be us sifting through theories.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
A survivor may have found his phone and been dialing last used phone numbers, trying to get some type of help before they died. And maybe it was only static noise because the mic was damaged on impact, or the person was too injured to talk. Some phones back during this time, because again, it's 2008, also had speed dial capability, and that would have made it easy for a random stranger to potentially dial some random phone numbers. But we don't know what kind of phone Charles had. I was a little bit frustrated by this because I feel like his fiance would have known what kind of phone he has. So maybe it's just like not readily available in the sources and his family knows, because that could also help solve some of this mystery. If we knew what kind of phone it was, then we could look up like, hey, was this phone capable of speed dialing? Because let's say a survivor found the phone, all they would have to do, you know, they're trapped under debris and they're injured and they can't do much. All they would have to do is hit one button and it would just start calling out instead of them having to like dial an actual number. But I do have issues with this theory also. We don't know if any bodies were found next to Charles, and then why would they also be calling people for 11 hours straight? That seems like a very long time to just be calling, calling, calling. And also, why not call 911? Another theory I found online, I don't buy this at all, but just going through all the theories, is that a prankster somehow found the phone and was cruelly calling people. I don't think this makes any sense. It's not like a prankster's running around at a train crash site and grabbing people's belongings, you know? That just makes literally no sense at all. But I wanted to include it because it was in some of the sources. Whatever, man. One of the biggest theories, though, is that this was some type of technical glitch. I don't know enough about cell phones to be able to talk through this very well. So let me know what you guys think down in the comments. But there's a big theory that the people who received phone calls only heard the sound of static because the phone was damaged in the crash. And then it was basically just short circuiting and sending calls out to people. Return calls were sent to voicemail because the phone had been damaged. It's also been theorized that when the phone short-circuited, it was going through and dialing recent contacts, and that's why it was calling his family and stuff. It's also possible Charles's family were not the only ones who got phone calls. It's possible his phone dialed a bunch of random phone numbers too, and we don't know because the phone was never found. If it did dial a bunch of random numbers and not just his family, you might see this as being more of a technical glitch. It doesn't sound so methodical. Another theory is the medical examiner got the time of death wrong, or that he just told Charles Peck's family that he died instantly to protect their feelings. Maybe Charles was actually alive and he was making these calls. Maybe he wanted to hear his loved ones' voices one last time. And finally, we get to the theory that this was a voice from beyond the grave. Maybe Charles Peck's spirit didn't know that he was gone. His son CJ seemed to have found comfort in the calls, saying, "I think it's a message from my dad, letting us know he's not suffering." Maybe this was Charles's spirit wanting his body to be found to give his loved ones closure. The phone calls stopped shortly before his body was found. The phone calls are what led investigators to him. They were able to hone in on his location. If this is the case, the Charles Peck phone calls could be an example of anomalous telephone contact or an ATC case. These cases also include text messages and even electronic voice phenomena or EVP recordings. In phone call cases, there's often static, but sometimes a voice is heard. In rare cases, multiple voices are heard. Parapsychologists D. Scott Rogan and Raymond Bayliss introduced this concept in their 1979 book, Phone Calls from the Dead. They found that in 27% of these cases, most calls arrived during a time of crisis. 25% happened within a week after death, and 22% were within 6 months of death. 10% were received on an anniversary. So maybe this is what loved ones will do sometimes. They're trying to reach out and connect, and I think it's interesting to just think about the concept that technology is some type of way for them to channel it. That's why spirit boxes work, for example. If you believe in things like this, I understand if people are skeptical, but I think that it's possible. Like, why not? What do I know? What we do know for certain is the Chatsworth crash resulted in the U.S. Congress passing a Rail Safety Improvement Act that same year. This new act actually required positive train control, that smart navigation we were talking about. This act was saying they needed to install PTC in most trains by the end of 2015. However, some railways still have not done this, and crashes have continued. In investigations of these crashes, lack of PTC has been cited as the cause. And that is the story of Charles Peck. But now we are going to get into some other encounters. So I found this subreddit. It was the mystery subreddit where they were talking about Charles Peck. And there were a lot of comments in this subreddit of people who claim to have had very similar experiences. So I have four Reddit encounters, but they're all pretty short. So this first one is from Reddit user icy-850, and they posted this just about 2 months ago. They said, "This is an odd situation for sure, and probably will never be explained. Anecdotally, it reminds me of the day of the Boston Marathon. I am a local, and right after it happened, a lot of cell phone signals of people calling loved ones got crossed because of overload. My friend kept getting calls from contact Dad on his phone, but when he would pick it up, it was different random people calling looking for family members. That doesn't explain the static, but I wonder if something similar was happening." Reddit user opposite_power_3848 said, "I had something similar happen. My mom died in the nursing home last year when I was en route to see her on a long drive. I already was notified she died, and I had to keep driving to get there. I missed a call from her phone several hours after she died. Since I didn't notice the call coming in and I didn't answer, I don't know if it was a sign from above or a nurse or my sister who was there and hit redial. I can't really ask my sister because her mental health issues resolve in a lot of untruths. So it's just one of those things where I don't know if there's a rational explanation for it or not." Reddit user Deaf Lemon says, "One of my close childhood friends disappeared in 2020. His family maintained his phone number by paying the bill for a few months, but couldn't continue and let it go. About a year later, my friend's mom was walking into Walmart and a woman had a litter of puppies that she was trying to rehome. My friend's mom fell in love with one of the puppies immediately, but she wasn't in a good place financially and already had several other dogs at home. The woman wrote her phone number down on a piece of paper and gave it to my friend's mom, just in case. A few days went by and she couldn't stop thinking about that puppy, so she dug around in her coat pocket for the slip of paper and found it. On this piece of paper was her son's former phone number. She called it, and miraculously, the woman with the puppies still had one left. The one she fell in love with. A few days later, they got a call that my friend's body, her son, had been found. Like, that is some karmic, universe, stars aligning kind of shit. That's crazy. I get like chills thinking about it. Just wow. What are the chances that your missing son's phone number becomes this woman's phone number who has the puppy that you couldn't stop thinking about? And then the second all that lines up and you call her, you find your missing son. His body's been out there. He's been missing for over a year. Like, come on. Reddit user prestigious-beach283 says, "My little sister Kayla died at the age of 18 after a lifelong battle with cystic fibrosis. She left her mom with her phone and passcode. However, the 3 days after her death were a bit of a whirlwind. Her mom stopped charging the phone because she was already overwhelmed. However, on the second night after her death, at around 12 to 1 a.m., her mom got a phone call from Kayla. She answered and heard mostly static. She also heard my sister say, 'Mom,' and then towards the end of the phone call that lasted 43 seconds, she heard, 'I'm okay.' Then a little bit more static before a disconnect. I saw the call log on her mom's phone. Kayla's phone, however, had a dead battery and had no evidence of an outgoing call at that time or any of the days preceding her death. Her grandmother also claimed to get a static call, but I'm not sure how credible she is. My little sister also visited me in the form of a lucid dream within that 3-day period. In the dream, I was running from some bad people and happened across a car that I knew would start. I drove for what felt like an eternity and ended up outside of this dilapidated warehouse. Upon entering, it was like I crossed a threshold into where her soul was being housed, her little sanctuary. There were Bob Marley posters and other psychedelic tapestries covering every inch of the walls and ceilings. She didn't have a feeding tube anymore or oxygen. She picked up a bong and took a stellar rip for someone who essentially drowned in her own lung mucus a couple days ago. Then she smiled and passed it to me. Pink Floyd was quietly playing in the background. We hung out for a little. Then she asked me if I was dead, too. I had been legally dead before and brought back. It felt like my soul was separating from my body to go be with hers. I was utterly disoriented, besides her question resonating within the eternity of my consciousness. It was being stretched, and then my soul snagged onto something within my physical consciousness and uttered a very resolute, 'No, not yet.' And then I was back in her bedroom. We smiled at each other bittersweetly, and I woke up. She visited all of us any way that she could, but the phone call is the single hardest thing to explain." That story I saved for last because it is so wild. She has the voice coming through, hearing your loved one's voice after they passed and the phone being dead. That also makes me think of the Charles Peck case because it kept going to voicemail. So it makes me think that the phone wasn't even on, but it's like they can still use it or contact it somehow. I don't know. I do think that there's something to be said, or at least thinking about, when we have just lost a loved one. I feel like the veil for us can be a little bit thinner, and it's like easier to be able to connect with them or contact them in those initial stages because our brain is more open to the idea I don't know if that makes sense, but I find this all really, really fascinating. I also think that is such a beautiful and sweet, funny, sad story. There's so many emotions in it, and I feel like that's how grief is. So I really enjoyed those stories. I hope you guys did too. So I've got a couple other quick things for you guys as we wrap up. Throughout my research, I also found the show called Celebrity Help, My House is Haunted. I found this because I was just scrolling through TikTok trying to find any videos about this that I could. And so there was this video that comes from season 3, episode 2 of this show, where English actress Tina Malone is having her house investigated by paranormal investigators because it's super haunted, obviously. And during their investigation, they got a random phone call on the landline. They answered it and they've like amplified the audio with their like microphone technology and stuff. So you hear static and then you hear a breathy, ragged male voice. And it sounds like this thing is saying, "Help me, and I'm Billy," which there was a spirit in the house named William. So I'm going to play that TikTok for you guys now. If you are watching on YouTube or the Spotify video, I would encourage you to, because it's going to be easier to understand with like captions and stuff. But I will try to get that audio as clear for you guys as I can if you're not able to. So this video comes from the Discovery Plus UK TikTok account.
If that's you and you're messing with this, how about you ring the phone again? Fuck off! Right, listen. Get the recorder.
Press record. Mate.
Press speakerphone, bottom left. Bottom left. Hello? What's your message?
Shut up!
Who are you? What's your name?
I can't listen to that.
Oh my God.
What the actual fuck was that?
I've never experienced that in my entire life.
That's what I could hear.
What's your message?
Shut up!
Who are you?
What's your name?
What's your name?
I'm Billy.
Billy?
I'm Billy. Is that William?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'm Billy.
I think that is the most chilling thing I've ever heard.
Like, are you kidding? That is so scary. I would absolutely be shitting myself. There's no way. There's no way. This reminds me of that scene in Hill House, which I know, guys, I know I talk about The Haunting of Hill House all the time. You guys are probably so sick of it, but I love Hill House. I watch it every spooky season. But there's a scene where Nell calls her brother after she's already dead, which, sorry if that's a spoiler, but the show's been out for so long, guys. Come on. So he picks up and he's like, hello. And then there's static and it's her voice. And then in the middle of that, he gets a call from his dad and finds out she's dead. And then he sees her spirit in the room. And it's so scary. That's what this reminds me of.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Okay, so I'm getting a little unhinged. Let's wrap this up. On the Scary Stories subreddit, I also found this post called A Chilling Call at 2 to 3 a.m. It's from Reddit user prettygirl_99. About a year ago, I started getting these calls on my phone at around 2 to 3 a.m. every single night. When I would answer, it was this hellish-sounding noise, like static mixed with screams. I changed my phone number after a month of this, and it stopped. Then after a week or so, it began again. The exact same noise. The exact same time. Finally, one day, I decided to back dial the call. It was an old man that had no clue what the hell I was talking about. But still, the calls persisted. If I didn't answer, it would call a few more times. No messages were left. So one day, I decided to say, fuck it. I ended my contract with my phone company and switched to a new one. And then I got another new number. You guessed it. The screaming, static calls continued after a short delay. By this time, I was terrified every night, unsure why this was happening. I backdialed the number again and got a different person. Around this time, I lost my phone. The calls stopped, of course. My phone was disconnected now. So one day, my mom asks me to listen to this weird message she got on our home phone. It was the static screaming. I told my mom my story with this call, and she was freaking out. I again backdialed the number, and it said the number was disconnected this time. Never heard from it again after that. End quote. You would have to commit me to an institution if this happens to me. That is hellish. That is so terrifying. That's straight out of a horror movie, and I don't like it. The last thing I found was this really great YouTube video from the channel Paranormal Scholar. It seems like you're doing really cool things over there. And this video is titled Five Unexplained Creepy Phone Calls, Including Audios. So I am going to play the first couple minutes of this video for you guys. This is one of the phone calls that she talks about in this episode, and it's at a funeral home. It is very creepy and interesting, I think.
Day or night, the police are there to answer your emergency calls. And so it was that in the early hours of the 11th of August 2018, the Colorado City of Pueblo's police department took a 911 call from the Imperial Memorial Gardens, a funeral home and cemetery located on Highway 78, southwest of the city. According to the communications center, an emergency services dispatcher answered the phone at 3:28 a.m., but received no response from anyone on the line, after which the caller hung up. The 911 call was thus logged as abandoned, with officers subsequently being dispatched to the funeral home and the person who had answered the phone redialing the number so as to confirm whether anybody needed any help. Police documents show that the call was answered, but that, eerily, no one responded. Instead, the dispatcher was met with silence and static.
Hello?
Throughout, you can also hear several muffled voices in the background of the call. While some are clearly other dispatchers in the communications center, it is not clear whether all the voices are on the caller's end, or whether some, most notably what sounds to be a low, mumbling male voice, are coming from the funeral home.
Hello? Hello?
Chillingly, when the officers who were sent to the location arrived, they found the funeral home locked up and dark, with no one in sight. The incident was discussed in local news at the time, with no explanation as to who had both made the original call and picked up the police's redial being given. As for Pueblo's police department, Captain Tom Rummel gave this uncertain statement. It was probably just line trouble, right? Let's go with that. And with the eerie call having been made from a cemetery, it may very well be more comfortable to draw that conclusion.
The fact that even these dispatch people are like, yeah, must have been an accident, let's go with that, and are like so clearly freaked out, it gives me chills. It gives me chills. So as you can see, there are countless stories from all over that leave me unsettled, wondering if something else is out there. I just have to wonder if it's possible that somehow, in the static between stations, a spirit is getting through. What if these spirits are trying to contact us, similar to a Ouija board or a spirit box? Whatever the case, these phone calls may be technical glitches or actual contact from beyond the grave, but the concept is certainly perplexing. And that, everybody, is today's episode, all about the Charles Peck case and paranormal phone calls. You guys have to tell me what your thoughts are on this. I really am just so fascinated by it. And I think as we just become more and more technologically advanced, there's a lot of scary things that come with it, like AI. But things like this, I think, are really, really cool. They're scary, but they're also cool. And I'm wondering, as the technology continues to change, if we're going to hear things like this. I don't think things like this are happening, as far as I know, through computers, for example. So it's like the ghosts are going to have to get better with technology to keep talking to us, you know? So something I'm going to start doing in episodes is reading some comments from you guys. And I am doing a lot of batch recordings, so I'm going to be a little bit behind. These are from the Maternal Instincts two-parter series that I did. But I just want to shout out you guys, because when you leave comments, it boosts me up the algorithms. And so Jesse Collins, 1979, thank you for all of your comments. So Jesse says, great episode, Kadra. Ready for the next one. Have a wonderful night. Keep up the good work. B says, hard case to cover. Appreciate your insight. Kendra, which I get Kendra all the time. It's Kadra, but I'm not mad at all. Thank you so much for commenting, and I'm glad you enjoyed. Stephanie N said, I wonder if Taylor was originally planning to steal Kinsey's baby. I also wondered that and would not be surprised, because Taylor was cuckoo bananas. And then my mom commented on Patreon and said, love this episode. I watched it on YouTube to see the pictures. Great job, Kadra. Yeah, I have a little fire under my booty, and I am doing a lot of video editing stuff now. I've learned some new effects that I didn't know how to do before. So if you guys haven't been watching the videos, now's a great time, because me and Charlie are tag teaming, and we are making, I think, some really great visual effects for y'all. And yeah, I'm proud of the content I'm putting out. I've also stepped up my social media game. I'm posting a lot more. So if you're not following the Instagram page, Perplexity Mystery Podcast, you should be. So thank you guys for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, be sure to let me know. Drop your thoughts down below, as always. Share this episode with a spooky person in your life. And if you haven't left a 5-star review yet, please do that. It helps so, so, so much. You guys have no idea. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe. If you get a phone call from someone who passed away, be sure your phone is on and you answer and you record it so that I can listen to it. And I will talk to you next week. Bye. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. The show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Editing is by myself and Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. If you want ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, you can always join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. If you have a topic request or a listener story, you can always submit those to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Business inquiries can be sent via email. Additional support links, along with merch, can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.
news. Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.